good to catch up with Brian Haney, courtesy of the Mattress Hub. Pretty interesting stuff there on KU and as they move forward. And the perspective, Shane, I think that you brought up that I think is very real. I just don't think that teams care. Fans may care, but programs don't care where they're ranked or what the perception is at this particular point. I mean, when you're Kansas and Kentucky and Duke and Carolina and, you know, programs that are used to it and that have swagger each and every year, who the hell cares where you're ranked at this particular point in the season? It's all about making progress and becoming the type of team that you need to be in the postseason.
Especially when it's a difference between one and two.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
It's nice to be number one, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But fandom, I guess they're the ones that, of anyone that would care, would. Coaches, players, probably not a big deal. Okay, so Wichita State, changing gears to Wichita State, they head to Charleston to take on Davidson starting tomorrow afternoon. Tuesday, Greg Marshall met the media as he does every Tuesday, pretty much every Tuesday anyway. And he addressed what had changed against Providence. Here's what he had to say.
Well, we stopped giving up buckets in transition quite as easily, and then we made some shots. You know, we're not going to shoot that well in every game, but it was very timely, Marcus especially. Samaje hit three in a row in the first half, and then Marcus took over from there. And making shots certainly covers up a lot of things that you don't do well, and we've got still many, many, many things that we don't do well. So you've seen, as I said earlier, going into the season, I think you're going to see the Rocky-type Dow Jones Industrial Average graph for our team with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you've seen in two games, you've seen a little bit of both already. We're capable. At least we know now we're capable of playing well. And we also know that we're capable of not playing well.
Good way to put it right there.
The Dow Jones. Very good way to put it.
Yep.
Totally.
He discussed in the past about using video to help his team, and I think you and I both saw this coming after they got beat on the boards at home against Louisiana Tech. The video wouldn't paint a very pretty picture. He kind of used that question along with a mashup of Marcus and Samaje really leading the team well in their bounce back after Louisiana Tech.
Well, not only show it to them, but then have that result of losing at home to a very good Louisiana Tech team, but people just aren't—they don't expect that here. So the expectations are not to lose your home opener. Maybe we should have done a little more research on Louisiana Tech prior to bringing them in. But I think our guys and a lot of our leaders stepped up. We had more leadership in the second game for sure. Seniors stepped up and not just led on the court, not just the 32 points, but Marcus made some tremendous defensive plays. And he was hustling all over that court. Samaje was much more vocal and a leader from the guard position in the second game than he had been in the first. So our guys, I think our young players fed off that a little more. But Mark was just, he was really, really good. And they said to the young players after watching that, you know, we have to do better. We can't win that way. We have to, all these things that the coaching staff has been preaching have to be done, or you can lose, not just to Louisiana Tech, anyone on our schedule. There's a lot of good basketball teams out there, and we didn't play well, obviously, and we didn't make the checkouts and the hustle plays, and we were a little frozen waiting for someone else to do it.
Yeah, that's something that can't happen mm-hmm. with this bunch. You can't be waiting for somebody else to do it.
No.
Especially if it's the younger guys looking up to Marcus and Samaje to do everything. You can't.
Sure.
And they're right, and Greg was right in echoing it. They can't win that way. All right. So the Teddy Allen question came up again.
Mm.
Nobody seems to know his status or how close the NCAA is coming to a decision on Teddy Allen. He, by the way, and I'm not exactly sure if Greg will touch on this in this particular clip. He may. But Teddy Allen has been doing a nice job of leading in practice and how he can. Here's Greg's reaction to when he was asked, what's Teddy Allen's status?
Well, he's on the scout team, and he's an interesting player on the scout team. Number one, I've got to slow him down, so I need to learn the other team's offense and him show that to our guys that are going to play. and not just go, run teddy ball and give us buckets, which he did heading into the Louisiana Tech game. I got mad at him. I wasn't mad at him. I was mad at our team for not being able to stop him. But the reason I was talking to him was, hey, run their offense. Don't just go off and, you know, do your thing, even though we weren't able to stop you. So getting him to do scout team right now, and then hopefully we get the word here soon, and it's a positive. I think it's coming. I think the deadline is getting near.
Kind of a fuzzy way of saying, man, I hope something happens soon. One way or the other.
He would be nice addition.
With every passing day, it seems like the NCAA is clearing somebody else, a transfer and allowing them to play. But as feared a couple of weeks ago, this non-decision has bled over into the regular season. I guess it's still not a huge deal so long as a decision is made, a favorable one, within the next, week or two?
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
I mean, yeah, I agree. Based on everything that I've heard, he's a difference maker. Mm-hmm. So,
And we didn't hear it in that clip, so I apologize. It was taken out of context. It was another question, apparently. But anyway, Teddy apparently has been doing all the things and then some that you would hope an older guy would be doing during practice. And Greg said that Marcus McDuffie actually sought out Teddy Allen after the Louisiana Tech game and asked him for advice. Marcus McDuffie, the senior, asked Teddy Allen, the new guy.
Isn't that something?
What did you think?
How much respect is that?
He must curry quite a bit of favor in that locker room,
yep.
Teddy Allen.
No question.
So, he's probably the most important scout team player in the country right about now. Again, it'd be nice if some sort of resolution would be handed down by the NCAA. And free Teddy T-shirts were all over Charles Koch Arena. One was worn by Lynn Marshall, Greg's wife. Said free
That's
Teddy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Of course,
she wore that. Yeah.
Of course she would wear it. That's awesome. Good for her.
Okay. Greg was asked about the trip to Annapolis and Washington, D.C. It was the reaction you would have expected.
Really, really cool. You know, not just for kids, for coaches and administrators and things that we did there in the Congress and the Senate on the Capitol Hill, and then being able to go down to, I think, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and go through all those checks just to get into the behind the fence and see all the demonstrators and all the crazy things that go on right there on that promenade and East Wing, West Wing, Oval Office. It was tremendous. Everyone was so gracious. And what I was most proud of is my players and how they reacted to the thing. They were like, they were told Santa Claus was in the other room on Christmas Eve when they were 8 years old. They were very excited. And but regardless of their politics, respected the office of the president and were just blown away. And it was like a movie. Teddy said it best in a tweet last week, right after we got back. This past 72 hours was like living a movie.
Not every
That's
day.
That's awesome.
Not every day you get to go
that
to
is awesome.
Washington, D.C. and look around. Of course, the Shockers topped it off by actually winning on their business trip, but they did get a chance to smell the roses on the way, so that was cool for them.
No question. It's such an impressive city. I love Washington, D.C. I really do. It's quite a place, and the seat of power and all of that, but there's just a different vibe and energy that you get being in a place like that. And, of course, the history has a lot to do with it, but it's really special. Good for them. What a wonderful opportunity for them to have had and enjoyed.
So they're in Charleston right now. Greg Marshall spent 8 years as an assistant at College of Charleston under head coach John Kress when they made the most successful transition ever from NAIA to NCAA Division I. The team earned a NCAA at-large bid in 1994. In their first season of postseason eligibility. Not only did they get in, they got an at-large. And
unreal.
The next 2 years, they got NIT bids. So that's Greg's ties with Charleston. Marshall's former Winthrop and Wichita State assistant, Earl Grant, of course, is at College of Charleston. Maggie, his daughter, is a first-year student at College of Charleston. I didn't realize that. And Lynn, his wife, has 2 degrees from the College of Charleston. So they
they
go pretty deep back to Charleston in the state of South Carolina. So that's where they are right now. And Greg, of course, was asked about going back to Charleston.
You know, we're going to try tomorrow to get there in time. Maybe I can run over and see Earl, my friend, my colleague, my former assistant coach at 2 different stops, including here. For 6 years, we worked together. I recruited him out of high school. I recruited him out of junior college. I know him very, very well. I went to his wedding. So I'm looking forward to seeing his team play on Tuesday night. And my daughter goes to school there, Maggie, so she's looking forward to introducing her friends that she's met and roommates and future roommates and all of that to, I'd like to meet them, and she wants to introduce them to the team and whatnot. So it's just great that that's all coming together. Now, we still have the issue of 3 games against very good competition, so we're going to have to be preparing for that. Everybody gets to enjoy the trip except for the players and the coaches. We're grinding, so... hopefully the players can enjoy it a little bit, and I'll enjoy it when it's done.
I like this. I love the fact that they have 3 games in a short amount of time. You can do a lot of bonding and growing very quickly in situations like this. And one hopes that it has a maturing effect on this team. Now, it can go the other way, and you can get your backsides beaten, and you can do it, you know, three nights in a row, or 3 or 4 nights, or whatever it is.
Well,
so I mean, you better be
able to flush whatever it is, good or bad, you know. And it's like, hey, we move on. We got to play again tomorrow. You know, don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Either don't worry about it, or you know, don't pat yourself on the back. We got another one tomorrow, and you know,
it would be huge to get a win out of the gate on Davidson, because then it puts you in a game where you would be a pretty solid underdog, I would imagine, against Purdue. And I'm dismissing someone, Shane. I'm not sure who it is.
Appalachian State.
Okay, with all due respect to the folks from North Carolina. Beautiful place, by the way. But anyway, I would think that you would really hope for a matchup with Purdue,
sure,
even this early in the season, to give yourself – to give yourself a little, I mean, you've gotten one nice little pulse check from Providence after one that didn't tell you very many good things from Louisiana Tech. Boy, beating Davidson and getting to play Purdue would be ahead of schedule for this team, I think.
Yep, I think you're right. And it's interesting that you brought up the 3 games in 4 days thing, and that you better be able to move on, and you can bond, and you can learn things about yourself, because Greg said when they got back to Wichita after beating Providence in Annapolis, they had a terrible practice.
I don't know with anything in particular. We've got a lot of issues that we need to get better at, for sure. I was disappointed yesterday. We got back 3 a.m. I got to bed 3 a.m. on Saturday morning, and we didn't practice Saturday. That was our mandatory day off. So then we practiced yesterday, and we watched video first, and then we practiced, and I was unbelievably disappointed in how we practiced. So that's something that we've obviously got to deal with. East Coast travel, big win, come back, take a day off, and now how do you react when you have 3 days to prepare for your next game? And I did a very poor job getting them ready mentally for practice because they were terrible. So today has to be much, much better. And we can't afford too many days where we don't improve. And that was, Sunday was one of those. It was for just, I don't know what reason, we were not very good.
I'm glad I wasn't there to watch it.
Oh, my God.
When he gets PO'd, it's uncomfortable.
It is.
It's uncomfortable.
And it's designed to be that way,
well,
isn't
sure.
it?
Well, sure. Yeah, it is. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, it is.
I mean.
And he's not alone in that. A disappointed coach is not a fun coach to be around, no question. But I go back to a preseason practice that I just stuck my head into. I was down in the tunnel, and somebody wasn't in the right place. Somebody didn't know where to go, and you could just see the steam coming out of Greg's ears. And he just stopped practice and put everybody on the line, told them to start running, and didn't blow his top, but just very matter-of-factly was like, everybody on the line. And then the whistle went off, or the buzzer or whatever, and they started running. And I was like, okay, this is about to get ugly. And he walked up to me and he said, man, I love coaching these guys. And they love to be coached. I'm like, are you serious right now? And he meant it. He meant it. He was like,
oh,
these
no,
guys
of course
are
he meant it.
These
yeah,
guys are
absolutely.
Driving me crazy, but they, yeah. You know, you can tell that there's the aptitude and the interest level and all that stuff. And I said it before on this show whenever it happened. He didn't have to say that to me. I mean, he was in the midst of being ticked. But he's like, man, I like these guys. So I'm like, all right, good.
You can't do it until you understand it. You know, I mean, yeah. You got to understand it. You got to understand the motivation and why you're being asked to do things that in, what, 90% of the cases of these guys, and I'm not saying that they're poorly coached, but they're differently coached. When you come out of a high school or you come out of a junior college, you're coached differently. Mm-hmm. And the expectations and what you're asked to do can be basketball 101, even if you've played a ton of basketball. It and so it's like they have to understand it first.
Yeah.
And Chris Jans had a long chat with Chris Jans once about that. And he that's what he told me. He said, it's amazing how many guys will come. Talented players, really talented players, guys that we recruited, that we saw things in, that we wanted to have here. But it's amazing how much you have to teach them to be able to play at this level,
yep.
Meaning the high Division I level.
Yeah, it's hard to understand how hard you have to play to win games for Greg or at
when you haven't had to do it.
You
haven't had to do it. When all you basically have had to do is show up and out-jock the team you're playing. Right? Basically.
So, finally, Wichita State Davidson, tomorrow afternoon. Here's what Greg had to say about the Davidson program.
Well, the thing that stands out about them is Coach McKillop. I mean, I was a young assistant coach at Charleston, and I remember him coming to Davidson from, I think, Long Island Lutheran there in Long Island as a high school coach. And at first he struggled, you know, and that was they were in the Big South Conference, which we played, the College of Charleston, we played 1 year of a home and home in the Big South Conference, even though we weren't in the league and could not play for the conference tournament at the end of the year. And then they moved to the Southern Conference, and he got it going, and he got players that fit his system. And when he has that, as people around here have seen, when he had Steph Curry and those guys, I mean, they go to the Elite Eight and he almost beat Kansas to go to the Final Four. They don't have to have Steph Curry to be really, really good. He's proven that. And he's won for years with many, many different generations of players. And the way they're very difficult to guard, they really, really execute offensively, and they can certainly shoot it. And then on the defensive end, they're better than you might think. They just really have the length and they play proper positioning. And they're a good basketball team. Very, very well-respected program and coach.
No question.
All right. We'll find out tomorrow afternoon over on KEYN, on air at 5 o'clock, tip at 6. Mike Kennedy and Bob Hull will bring it to you. The first of three games in 4 days at the Charleston Classic, Wichita State against Davidson. I believe they're meeting for the fourth time all time. Haven't seen much of each other. Wichita State has won them all so far. If memory serves from the notes that Brian Holmgren handed out. So, Jockers and Davidson tomorrow afternoon will be interesting. When we come back, hopefully an interesting on this day in sports history. Brought to you by Superior Rents, 21st and Ridge, your rental equipment headquarters. Shane and Bruce on a Wednesday, Sports Daily.